again, I would like to welcome each of you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Clearly excited that we have this time together, excited that we have this opportunity to hear our Lord and Savior's word. I would ask a special interest in your prayers for our brother Jerry. Definitely does not need any introduction, but the only introduction I think that we all need when we are in service is clearly that blessing from our Lord and Savior, and that he would guide our thoughts and guide our minds. And at the same time, I definitely think it's important for each of us that we have that open mind and we have that open heart, that we will listen to the Lord. And so with that, I would introduce to you our brother, Elder Jerry Case.
Well, thank you, Jeff. And I do want to bring greetings from so many people back in Independence. And although I say back in Independence, it was the conference, so it was kind of people from all over that asked me to bring greetings back to you. So hi from them. It was a blessed time that we spent together this past week. Not just a blessed time for those that were present and got to speak and to worship, to study together, to work together, but we also had some great blessings that we got to behold. And maybe even Jeff could say more about this, because I wasn't present for this one, but they got the news that our brother Brian McIntosh's granddaughter had drank children's Tylenol and was hospitalized, and they were very, very worried because it's just one of those medications that's very liver toxic and can actually take your life. And so the whole church fell on its knees and prayed for her, and she was able to go home, and she was okay. She was blessed. It was miraculous. But we also, while we were together, we learned about a lot that's going on in the world. And at least for me, much of it wasn't new, but it was good to sit down and take some time to actually look at what's going on in the world and what the flow of current popular religion is, and just be reminded how important it is that we would be firm and steadfast and immovable in serving our Master, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so today I'm going to talk about our state and the way Lehi and Nephi were presented kind of a vision of the environment that we live in, and kind of that state of each of us trying to work out our salvation with fear and trembling before the Lord. And I would start with the reminder that's found in Matthew, the 7th chapter. And I'm going to start by just reading the 13th and 14th verses. So this is Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. I participate in a little Bible study out here with friends, and they're pretty honest. And one of the things I've heard several times, because over the many years we've read through this reading, and as it reads in Luke several times, and each time I hear at least one person say, I just don't like that. I don't like the fact that it says that it's narrow and that few find it. And to be honest, on the surface, I think I don't like that either. That feels threatening and treacherous, dangerous. But I think that it's just the truth, whether we like it or not. We have to realize that the way is narrow and straight. And the way that we enter is straight and narrow. So I'm going to back up now and read more of that. I'm going to start in that seventh chapter. I'm going to start back on the seventh verse. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, which if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these things of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which buildeth his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And as we read through this, for my own soul, for my own family, I think of my responsibility as a parent. I think of my responsibility as a friend, even, that this gives me great concern. What am I building my house upon? What am I building, as I teach my children, what am I building, helping build their house upon? I don't want my house to fall. I do not. And this gives us the instruction that it be built upon Christ, and that it be built upon keeping his commandments, doing his will. That's building upon the rock. I'd like to shift over to another view, as it is, of that way that we work out our salvation through fear and trembling before the Lord, that the vision that Lehi and Nephi were given and how they saw a representation of this struggle that each of us has in our life of trying to find and obtain that straight and that narrow way, and what that struggle is exactly. And to do that, I'm going to turn over here to page 20 in the Book of Mormon. Is everybody still there?
Yeah.
Yep.
Thank you. Sounded like I heard feedback, and so I was just trying to make sure that I, sometimes before our phone has cut us off, I wanted to make sure that hadn't happened again. So here, I've turned over to page 20. This is the first book of Nephi, chapter 2. And I think I'm going to start reading there on verse 48 for brevity's sake. And I'm going to read, first of all, from 48 to 52. So if you'll read along with me. And it came to pass that after I had prayed unto the Father, now this is Lehi here that's speaking. And it came to pass that after I had prayed unto the Lord, I beheld a large and spacious field. And it came to pass that I beheld a tree whose fruit was desirable to make one happy. And it came to pass that I did go forth and partake of the fruit thereof, and I beheld that it was most sweet above all that I ever had before tasted. Yea, and I beheld that the fruit thereof was white, to exceed all the whiteness that I had ever seen. And I partook of the fruit thereof, and as I partook of the fruit thereof, it filled my soul with exceeding great joy. And now I'm going to skip over to verse 62 to continue. And I beheld a rod of iron, and it extended along the bank of the river, and it led to the tree by which I stood. And I also beheld a straight and narrow path, which came along by the rod of iron, even to the tree by which I stood. And it also led by the head of a fountain unto a large and spacious field, as if it had been a world. And I saw numberless concourses of people, many of whom were pressing forward, and that they might obtain the path which led unto the tree by which I stood. And it came to pass that they did come forth and commence in the path which led to the tree. And it came to pass that there arose a mist of darkness, yea, even an exceeding great mist of darkness, insomuch that they which had commenced in the path did lose their way, and they wandered off and were lost. And it came to pass that I beheld others pressing forward, and they came forth and caught hold of the end of the rod of iron, and they did press forward through the midst of darkness, clinging to the rod of iron, even until they did come forth and partake of the fruit of the tree. And after they had partaken of the fruit of the tree, they did cast their eyes about as if they were ashamed. And I also cast my eyes round about, and beheld on the other side of the river of water a great and spacious building. And it stood as it were in the air, high above the earth, and it was filled with people, both old and young, both male and female, and their manner of dress was exceeding fine, and they were in the attitude of mocking and pointing their fingers towards those who had come at and were partaking of the fruit. And after that they had tasted of the fruit, they were ashamed because of those that were scoffing at them, and they fell away into forbidden paths and were lost. And so we have a couple of things that are going on here in this, what I feel like is it's an illustration of our life, of the struggle that we have. We have so many distractions in life, so many things that would take up our time, so many things that would keep us too busy to even get to this path, or even to be aware of it, or to know that it's important and that it's for the eternal welfare of our soul. And the way it's illustrated here is like a mist of darkness that, you know, it's not as simple as, you know, I look out my window today and it's sunny and it's beautiful and it's warm and I see that there's dandelions all over my backyard. But I can see everything out there. And if I wanted to walk to the back corner of my property, I could literally just walk straight out there without a worry. But in the middle of the dark, in a dense fog, you get lost. You can't find exactly where you're trying to go. And we find that the way to the Lord, as I've already read, it is straight and narrow. It's important that we be in that path and not wander out of it. Once we obtain it, that we not fall away. Part of what's on my thoughts today is, how is it that we look, you know, it's sometimes easy to see as we look at this illustration, you know, that makes sense. You have all this mist of darkness, so yeah, you need something to hang on to help yourself find the way. And what else do they show? Would you call it peer pressure? Is that how it applies to our lives? There's all kinds of distractions out there. There's all kinds of groups of friends, or, you know, there's all kinds of people with various agendas out there. And they would scoff at you for being in this straight and this narrow way. And the farther this world moves away from God, the more you literally stand apart from them, the more you become a target of indignation for them. They would scoff at you, make fun of you, because you don't believe like them. You don't behave like them. And so I think of these things. You see this illustration, and it's kind of easy to see what that looks like. But how does it really apply in our lives? What are the things that we face? I'm going to go back and read you know, I talked about the distractions. What is it you use as a foundation? And I think sometimes we believe in this day there's more confusion and more different sources and different pulls, distractions, whatever you want to call them, than there has ever been. So where do you found things on? You know, you have pressure to, you know, do I judge whether something's right or wrong by the law? Do I judge whether things are right and wrong by whether it makes me successful in my business? Do I judge whether things are right or wrong just simply by how I feel about it? Or by what my friends tell me? Let me jump over to the third book of Nephi. And this is back on page 618. And see if this doesn't sound a little bit like today. I think sometimes we use our day being different as an excuse. And I kind of want to take away your excuse. I'd like to explain a little bit that there's really not all that much new. It's all been here before. People have faced it in the past, and we still face it now. So I'm going to start reading This is the third book of Nephi, chapter 3, and I'm going to start reading with verse 10. I'm going to read down through 16. But it came to pass in the 29th year, there began to be some disputations. I'm going to start all over, if I could only read. Verse 10 again. But it came to pass in the 29th year, there began to be some disputings among the people. And some were lifted up unto pride and boastings because of their exceeding great riches. Yea, even unto great persecutions. For there were many merchants in the land, and also many lawyers, and many officers. And the people began to be distinguished by ranks according to their riches and their chances for learning. Yea, some were ignorant because of their poverty, and others did receive great learnings because of their riches. Some were lifted up in pride, and others were exceeding humble. Some did return railing for railing, while others would receive railing and persecution and all manner of afflictions, and would not turn and revile again, but were humble and penitent before God. And thus there became a great iniquity, a great inequality in all the land, insomuch that the church began to be broken up. Yea, insomuch that in the 13th year of the church, in the 13th year, the church was broken up in all the land, save it were among a few of the Lamanites, which were converted unto me, converted unto the true faith. And they would not depart from it, for they were firm and steadfast and immovable, willing with all diligence to keep the commandments of the Lord. And this is what I desire for us. That, you know, we're seeing all of these same things. And my desire is that, with the help of the Holy Spirit, that you would learn and that you would be firm and steadfast and immovable. And that you would keep God's commandments. I find that phrase throughout His scriptures. Keep His commandments. You even find it in the prayer over the bread when it talks about all these things that are associated. They're just a few things. But one of them is keeping His commandments. And it results in always having His Spirit to be with you. So let me I've read Lehi's vision. Let me go on over to Nephi's, part of Nephi's vision. I'm going to jump back to page 28. And this is 1 Nephi, the third chapter. And I'm going to start reading with verse 63 and read through 69. We're on page 28. This is first book of Nephi, chapter 3, verse 63. Knowest thou the meaning of the tree which thy father saw? And I answered him, saying, yea, it is the love of God, which sheddeth itself abroad in the hearts of the children of men. Wherefore, it is the most desirable above all things. And he spake unto me, saying, yea, and the most joyous to the soul. And after that he had said these words, he said unto me, look. And I looked, and I beheld the Son of God coming forth among the children of men. And I saw many fall down at his feet and worship him. And it came to pass that I beheld that the rod of iron which my father had seen was the word of God, which led to the fountain of living waters, or to the tree of life, which waters are a representation of the love of God. And they also beheld that the tree of life was a representation of the love of God. And so you see that obtaining life eternal, attaining to this tree of the love of God, is the most precious, the most sweet. It's the thing in life that we need to obtain. And it's, as you saw in Lehi's vision, there were many that didn't obtain it. Those that fell away, fell off the path. Those that were scoffed at by these other people, and they fell away. And as you read through here, read more about this, you see some of them actually literally going to that great and spacious building that he saw and joining with them, but not obtaining the tree of life. So how do we sort this out? Well, I've talked with a lot of friends, and you just need to find a church that fits your needs and start going to it. And that, you know, that should fulfill it for you, right? I hear silence.
Wrong. No.
No. Thank you. Let's read a little bit more in here. I'm going to turn over to page 40. And this is still in 1 Nephi, this third chapter. Is it? Yeah. And I'm going to start reading with verse 219. Let's hear a little bit more about what they saw. I'm going to start reading with verse 219 of the third chapter of 1 Nephi. And it came to pass that he said unto me, Look, and behold that great and abominable church, which is the mother of abominations, whose founder is the devil. And he saith unto me, Behold, there are saved be two churches. The one is the church of the Lamb of God, and the other is the church of the devil. Wherefore, whoso belongeth not to the church of the Lamb of God belongeth to that great church, which is the mother of abominations. And she is the whore of all the earth. And it came to pass that I looked and beheld the whore of all the earth, and she sat upon many waters. And she had dominion over all the earth, among all nations, kindreds, tongues, and people. And it came to pass that I beheld the church of the Lamb of God, and its numbers were few, because of the wickedness and abominations of the whore, which sat upon the many waters. Nevertheless, I beheld that the church of the Lamb, which were the saints of God, were also upon all the face of the earth. And their dominions among the face of the earth were small because of the wickedness of the great whore which I saw. And it came to pass that I beheld that the great mother of abominations did gather together in multitudes upon the face of all the earth among all the nations of the Gentiles to fight against the Lamb of God. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld the power of the Lamb of God, that it descended upon the saints of the church of the Lamb, and upon the covenant people of the Lord, which were scattered upon all the face of the earth. So we see that there are, you know, I think sometimes it betrays us a little, even if you look out there, how many churches do you see? I hear Jeremiah here across the table, he's saying, a lot. So we need to know. says they're saved but two churches. You know, something used to happen to me occasionally, and maybe the students that are out there listening might identify this very quickly. When I was in school, there was something I always kind of dreaded, and it was the test. The test. When I had to sit down and take the test, would I be ready? Would I be prepared? Would I be able to come up with the answers? Occasionally, something that would happen that would just fill my heart with glee. I'd come in on the day of the test, and I'd sit down, and I was going to have to try to remember everything, and the teacher would say, he'd look the test over again, and he thought it was a particularly hard one and stuff, and he said, I have good news for you. I've decided to make this. Aha, Jeremiah said it before I could. Decided to make this an open book test. And I'm here to tell you, that is the good news. The test of life is an open book test. This rod of iron that it speaks of, what did it describe it as in my reading in Nephi's vision? What was the rod of iron? I'm sorry?
Your books.
You say your books. Yeah, it's the Word of God. The Word of God. It's the thing that you can hang on to that will lead you through the mist of darkness. Help you hang on so you're not misled by the scoffs of all the people out there that would ridicule you. It's an open test. But can you, as you face every little decision in life, can you literally look up that decision in the book? Is there a table of contents or an index that you can look up, okay, what's this decision? And it's going to tell you exactly how to make that decision. Well, I can't see you out there. This is a teleconference, but I can see Jeremiah shaking his head no. I would compare this by getting your college degree, or, you know, even like a couple of my friends out here have gone through, they decided to be electricians. And what they give you as they studied and went to school and slowly became a journeyman, and, you know, they progressed till they're fully licensed electricians. But what they give them is the principle. They teach them how electricity works, how its characteristics remain the same, but because of the differences in amperage and voltage and stuff, how the characteristics can change and the risk and dangers can change depending on how much power is actually there at the time. That with lower power, you can get fairly close to a circuit without it arcing. We had a gentleman at work that was he got close to a circuit that was very powerful, didn't touch it, but it literally arced across and got him. Fortunately, he was revived and is okay now, but I'm just, you know, what they had to learn was the principle. And for us, when you study and you read in your Bible and your Book of Mormon, you learn the principle. You have to study and spend time in it and pray. And that's another piece that's good news. You can ask the teacher at any time. You can pray. So you got an open book test, and you get to ask the teacher at any time. and he'll help you get through this life. So that's the good news. Yesterday I was listening on the way home, driving home from Kansas City. It took me around 10 hours. And I listened to a sermon by our brother Bob Hedrick that he gave on the 1st of November, 2009, which he talked about time. And there's a few things that I would like to borrow from him to help you examine your own life, help you look at how you're living it, and to weigh how you're doing. He talked about time. And what I would like to jump to quickly is to help you understand the value of time. If I have a precious jewel, why is it that jewel is so valuable? But I'm not really getting a lot at my table here. Anybody else out there? What gives a jewel its value?
Partly its rarity.
I think that that's really true, Patsy. It seems to have increasing value. Yes, it's based on its beauty, but it's also, it really multiplies its value in that it's rare. And if we try to look at value on this earth, and we look at, we see rich man and we see poor man, like just like we read about in this reading in the Book of Mormon, you know. And sometimes we even classify ourselves as better or of less value as a person because of the amount of money we have. And a rich person may have millions. And a poor person have very, very little. But time, we all have the same. We all have that same amount of time, and I'm talking about in a day. We don't know how long our life will go on. One of those things we're not really given to know. But time, and especially it seems like in our excuses, is extremely rare. It's hard to get the things done that we need to get done. And so we find this to be probably our greatest treasure. And how do we spend it? Bobby compared it to a particular type of bank account. At the beginning of each day, deposited into your account is $86,400. It's just given to you. And you're free to withdraw and use that in any way that you see fit. And at the end of the day, it's all taken back out of your account. Anything that's left is taken back. And the next morning, there's a new $86,400 for you to consider how to use. Why do I use that number, $86,400? Huh? Actually, I use it because that's the number of seconds in a day. It's the moments that you're given. And out of that, you're going to sleep, you're going to work, you're going to go to school, you're going to make many, many choices. As you look at it, I think sometimes where your treasure is where your heart is. And that's where I'm getting to. How are you spending that you are given? How are you spending this time? Bobby had read something that said that out of all the time that's taken up during a week with sleep and work and school and personal hygiene and whatever, you have about 35 hours a week that's kind of discretionary time. I'm sure that's an average, and it's, you know, doesn't pertain exactly the same to everyone. But his point was, if you could literally fasten on and follow that person during those 35 hours of discretionary time, that's where you would get to know what he values most. Because he will spend that 35 hours on the things that he values most. That's how you really learn who that person is. How are you doing? How are you spending your discretionary time? Where did those things you have a choice on, where is it going? You know, you can't get it back. Is it spent ingraining those principles on your heart that makes it so you know how to face every trial? That makes it so you know how to make the important decisions in life? That makes you know how to stay in that path, that it's straight and narrow? Is it spent in keeping his commandments? Does it literally fit with readings that you do, like, you know, I'm not going to be able to quote it exactly, but to study, to show yourself approved, and to be a faithful servant of the Lord? Are you literally taking the opportunity you have to literally take advantage of this being an open book test? It is that important. If you're not keeping his commandments, if you're not founding your life on that rock, which is Christ, you heard what will happen to the other house. When the storms come, the rain beats upon it, the winds blow, it will not stand. So I would ask you to think about how you're spending your time. It's like another story Bobby told about was, you know, it's like your parents give you $20 and send you to the store, and they want you to get milk and bread and eggs. And you go to the store, and you'd never dream how many choices there are. I always look at, like, I have to go pick up something at the store and I can't find what I want. There's just too many choices, and I have trouble sometimes locating what it was I came for. But you look it all over, and all the distractions, you come home with what? Maybe what looked good to you. You come home with potato chips, maybe a 2 liter of Coke, and, you know, a bag of candy. And what do your parents say to you? They say, "Where's my change?" And you have the change for them, but where's my milk? Where's my bread? Where's my eggs? Where are the things that I sent you to get? I gave you what it took to get it. And in life, when we're put in life, when God sends us into this life, what is it we're spending our time on? Are we literally going to bring back the fruit that he sent us to bring back to him? What are the choices we're making? And I ask these questions not philosophically, but I ask them to you for you individually to really think about, because it's a gauge as to whether in your distraction you've turned loose of that rod of iron. You've not taken advantage of this being an open book test. You've turned loose and fastened on to other things that will not hold you in that straight and narrow path. So look at your life. Has it taken you somewhere else? Do you need to turn around? Do you need God's help to help you obtain that path again? Do you latch on to that book, to those books, to the Word of God with prayer? And hold on fast to it, that you would be able to know how to spend your time. You know, I don't say these things really to create a fear in you. But if you have fear, it creates fear in you. There's probably a reason for it. You find in 2 Timothy, 1st chapter, 7th verse, maybe I should just go look it up instead of trying to quote it from memory. It says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And this is what it takes to have that sound mind. You need to fill your heart and your mind with His Word. That thing that when all other things, when all else passes away, His Word lasts forever. That is the rod of iron. That's what you must fasten to. That's what gives you that sound mind and helps you so that in the end you have remained firm and steadfast and immovable in keeping the commandments of God. I hope that this time we've spent together has been a benefit to you, that the Holy Spirit has touched you and that possibly created an awakening within you, that has given you the opportunity to stop and literally look at your own life and think about, am I in the straight and narrow path? Am I firm? Am I steadfast? Am I immovable in that path? Is my mind sound? And I ask that that you would, you know, consider me, hopefully one of your friends, that you want me to be founded upon a rock too, and that you will pray for me, because I want these things for you, and I will pray for you, so that we are truly brothers, and that we will hang on to each other and help each other to obtain that path and to be servants of God. And to be actually salt and light to the world. God didn't just put us here for our own decision, but He put us here to be an example, to show His light that others might learn, that others might obtain eternal life also, that precious fruit, that love of God that surpasses all other things. And so, pray for me, I'll pray for you. Thank you for this time.
Thank you, Jerry. And thank you. I think we owe our thanks to our Heavenly Father. I'm going to stop the recording at this point.